Hey, this is Johnny Gorilla from the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. Get a pen and paper, that's the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. We have a new album on Rise Above. Very uncertain times, and I'm sure you will agree they are. You're listening to Nate Goyer on the Vinyl Guide. Keep it greasy and rock on, Nate.
Oh, well, thank you for that, Johnny. Hey, everyone, it's Nate, host of The Vinyl Guide, and on this week's show, we are celebrating the new album, Very Uncertain Times, from the band Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel, which is not as easy to say as it is to listen to. Now, I have been a fan of the Shovel for many years, and they have a brand new record, Very Uncertain Times, about to go up for sale with special limited pressings available from Rise Above Records. So head over to facebook.com/theshovel with two L's, or facebook.com/riseaboverecords, and you'll get a note when the album is ready for pre-order. Now today, Johnny's going to talk us through the history of the band, the rare and limited vinyl pressings associated with the band, and general talk of the Buzzard Man, and what makes the Shovel rock so hard. And for those of you who are just getting acquainted with Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel, we are going to include a track for you to check out and enjoy directly after the interview. And if you enjoy this episode and the music of Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel, here's a few other episodes of The Vinyl Guide you may enjoy. Episode number 156, featuring Cody Willis of Big Business, Melvins, and Murder City Devils. Episode 156 of The Vinyl Guide, Chuck Dukowski of Black Flag and Worm. Episode number 145 of The Vinyl Guide, Mark Evans of AC/DC and Rose Tattoo. He joined us for episode number 143 of The Vinyl Guide. Scott Ian of Anthrax, episode number 139 of The Vinyl Guide. And of course, James Williamson of the legendary Iggy and the Stooges, episode 127 of The Vinyl Guide. Get all our episodes and interviews for free at any time via our Apple or Android apps, or head over to thevinylguide.com. Now, the philosophy of The Vinyl Guide is that we give all our podcast episodes away for free. We don't ask anything of our audience except to consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/vinylguide. A few dollars a month always helps us get through. And we also request that you support our sponsors like Groove Washer. If you have vinyl records, you need to clean them, and there's no better manual record cleaner than the Groove Washer. Get a record cleaning kit with 10% off using promo code VINYLGUIDE10 at checkout. Go to groovewasher.com. It's that simple. Groovewasher.com, promo code VINYLGUIDE10. All right, let's start our interview with the Shovel's very own Johnny Gorilla, and stay tuned afterward for a new track from the album Very Uncertain Times by the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel.
Sorry, man. Yeah.
No worries. This sounds so much better. Let's start the whole thing again, if that's all right.
Yeah, cool.
Try to act surprised when I ask the same questions again, too.
Yeah. Oh, wow, man. I never heard that before.
That's an interesting point. Hey, everyone. This is Nate, and I am very stoked. I have on the phone with me right now Johnny Gorilla of the band The Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. Actually, it's not The Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. It's just Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. We don't mind the odd the. I must say, we don't take offense to the.
But
it's okay.
But the name is an homage to, I believe, a British naval captain of some sort. What did Sir Cloudesley Shovel actually do?
What did he do? Well, it's, first of all, it's not so much a homage to him as we just really like the name. I'll get to that, how we come across it later. But, yeah, he was... one of his claim to fame, notoriety, he was responsible or in charge of a fleet in the Navy, Royal Navy, that was the biggest loss of life ever in one disaster. And it was caused by a storm. It wasn't a battle, but he was in charge of the fleet. Parked the ships in the wrong place and boom. And then later, because of another disaster, they eventually invented like longitude and compasses that don't, you know, that work on ships as a result of his misfortunes. But he got up to all sorts of stuff and came to a pretty grisly end. You can read all about it on Wikipedia and the like if you want to. It's all exciting stuff.
Now, did you have to learn about the career of the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel before you named the band after him, or after?
No, that came much later. The name was brought about by me and bass player Louis. We were in a pub having a few beers. At closing time, we decided to walk back to my place to possibly have another beer. And we come across a house with a big sign outside that said, had a lovely picture of the guy in all his finery. And it said, reputedly, the house of the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. Louis says, Cloudesley Shovel. We didn't have a name at that point, so Cloudesley Shovel, yeah. And I said, hell, man, let's go the whole hog. Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel. Mm-hmm. Sort of as a little nod, a tribute to bands like Sir Lord Baltimore and all those crazy 60s, 70s named bands. And we also figured nobody else would have it, and that was probably our first mistake.
So has it been a mistake? I mean, it seems to be a bit of a blessing. I mean, it's a name that certainly you don't forget.
Yeah, it's true. It's nobody else has got it, that's for sure. But it is a blessing and a curse. It's a great name if you remember it, but some people do have a bit of trouble. You sort of tell them the name and they look at you and go, ugh. Although it doesn't seem that difficult to me, but, you know, hey-ho. It works both ways, but we like it. We're stuck with it, you know.
Yeah, you just can't name it Cloudesley Shuffle. I mean, the guy was knighted. You need to keep his title in there with the respect, right?
Oh, yeah, full title, right way around preferably, but again, you know, we've been called worse things, so it's all good with us, man, all good.
Well, very good, and I'm very excited you have a new album coming out, Very Uncertain Times. Again, it's on Rise Above Records, and you've had a long history with Rise Above. They've been with you really since the first single, yeah?
That's right, yeah. We after we'd been going for a few months, we stuck down some of our early tracks just on a cassette. It was like a rehearsal room recording, you know? Just on a Ghetto Blaster or something, and we sent it off to Lee at Rise Above, really not expecting to hear back, you know, you don't really expect to, but he thought it had something which he liked. He came to see us play a gig in London, and he was impressed enough to offer us just a single at the time, which we did, and that sold out. So after that, he offered us a contract for a couple of albums. And here we are, number four.
Wow. Well, congratulations. But by the way, is there a stereo on in the background by chance?
Let me turn that off.
Yeah.
It's quite a good compilation, actually. It's an album called Manchester.
Manchester.
As in a pun on the name Manchester, and it's all obscure rock from sort of 69 to 75. From Manchester. So there you go.
So that period of time, was it 69 to 75? That seems to be the sweet spot for the Shovel, right? I mean, that's kind of where you draw a lot of the influence from, yeah?
I think it's a sweet spot for rock and rock history in general, wouldn't you say?
I think so. Why do you think that point in time still has such an affinity to people today?
I guess it boils down to, I mean, it was the industry of the music was different then. As people tended to make music more based on instinct and passion rather than, you know, right into formulas and what would sell. I mean, I'm not talking about the pop world, that's always been the same. But as far as rock, you know, proper rock music, there was actually a period when, in my opinion, where the best music, like bands like Sabbath and Deep Purple, Jethro Tull, were actually in the charts, you know. I mean, I couldn't imagine that sort of thing happening today, you know, to the same degree. But I think it's just good, honest music. It's from the heart, and it seems to stick, you know. Classic things were fresh then as well. It hadn't all been done before, so yeah. I guess that's why people tend to relate to that. I think it's more basically down to the honesty and the vibe you get off when you listen to it. You don't get a false vibe, or, hey, they're doing this because it's, you know, a money spinner or a part of a scene. It's just good, honest music to me, and interesting, and, you know, it's got the sound.
Yeah. There weren't a lot of rules at that point. I mean, people were still experimenting quite a lot. And
yeah, totally.
And there's quite a few difficult records to get through, but quite a few really excellent, interesting records to explore. Even some of the ones that may be a little bit tough to get through, at least you learn something from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Often you find the ones you don't immediately get into turn out to be the ones that you really, you know, dig a few years later. You sort of come back to it and boom, you sort of suddenly understand it. But I'm glad they made them challenging or straightforward. You know, there's a lot of stuff to fall back on and listen to. It was something new to discover. Even now I hear bands from that era that I've never heard of. You know, it's great, great stuff.
And Johnny, are you a vinyl record fan? Do you have a record collection?
I do have a record collection of sorts, but I'm not, I've got a lot of vinyl, yeah, sure, but I'm not what you'd call a collector, in as much as I don't really, it doesn't have to be like a first pressing with an original cover or whatever. I'm happy just to hear the music, you know, as long as it plays and I can hear it. I don't have to have the original copies or, you know, seek out very expensive, valuable records. I'd rather have just a record I can play. I mean, I'm not going to pay, you know, 5,000 quid for an album that I can't, you know, I'd be too scared to play it, man. So I just like the music. But I do have a lot of records, yeah.
Yeah. Describe for me your record collection.
It's a bit of everything, really. I've got a pretty wide taste in music. Again, you know, my favourite stuff is that era, sort of probably sort of 65 to 75, whatever. But I was a big fan at the time, you know, that was my era, was the new wave of British heavy metal and first Motorhead and stuff like that. I went, veered away from metal a bit in the 80s when it went a bit sort of strange, but I did like a lot of the, you know, sort of thrash bands and all that sort of stuff. But I've got a wide range, you know, various, name any genre, I've probably got something around that sort of stuff.
It's interesting you mentioned Iron Maiden, because Iron Maiden had the mascot Eddie, and the Shovel has the bird. Does the bird have a name?
He's the Buzzard Man.
The Buzzard Man.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what is the significance of the buzzard to the Shovel?
It came about the first single cover, if you've ever seen it. We had a bunch of images we were looking at, and that one just really stood out. You know, people would see it and go, wow, what's that? You know, that's a really cool image. And we sort of figured, yeah, it is a really cool image. So when we came to do the first album, we got a good friend of ours, called Lucy, who made some amazing sort of Wicker Man type stag's head masks and all this kind of crazy stuff. And we put it to her, maybe you could make a, you know, a buzzard head that somebody can actually wear, you know, as a thing. And she did, and it was brilliant. And we thought, well, hell yeah, we're going to stick with that. It's a good, also, I guess with a name like the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel, which is, you know, doesn't always stick in the brain, people will see that buzzard head, and that's a relatable thing. A bit like Iron Maiden, you see that Eddie head, and you know it's Iron Maiden, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and every album he's doing something a little bit different. He's on a motorcycle on Check It Before You Wreck Him. He's in a diner on Keep It Greasy, and he's even on the new album as well. So it's, I think it's great. Do you have like a bunch of buzzard heads, or do you have the one that's kind of been with you for years?
We've got the one.
It's all smelly.
It's getting a bit ragged now. We could do with maybe updating or getting a couple of spares, you know. He's starting to molt. His feathers are falling out rather badly.
Do you bring it on stage? Is it on tour with you as well?
We haven't as yet. We did think about it, but it is rather fragile, you know. So I think by the end of one show, it'd probably be pretty bold. It'd be a bold eagle.
Oh, yeah. You get a lot of people who want to try to wear it and drunks doing stuff to it. So, yeah, that'd be a mess. You need a rubber one or something that can travel.
Exactly, yeah. Or either that or his own, you know, security team to take care of his head.
But, yeah, I would imagine that would be the highlight of the gig. I've never had an opportunity to see the band live. Have you toured outside of Europe a lot?
No, we haven't actually. We were trying to get to America, but it fell through in the end. But it could still be on the cards, man. We're always up for playing. We'd really like to get to the States and Canada, and I'd like to personally Australia. I've never been to Australia, and I've got relatives there, so that'd be fun to do. But no, at the minute, no, it's been England and sort of mainland Europe mainly.
Mm-hmm. And I see you're
hopefully that will change.
And I see you're on bills with bands like Church of Misery, and I hear you you even toured with Danko Jones last year. What are the sort of crowds that are attracted to Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel to an Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel show?
Yeah, I guess mainly the sort of, for want of a better word, the sort of stoner rock crowd, you know, it's mainly that sort of crowd. I guess fans of Church of Misery and Orange Goblin and Uncle Acid and stuff like that. The Danko tour was a different sort of audience. They're, you know, more of a sort of maybe a punkier sort of crowd. But again, I think they like what we do. We've got a lot of energy in a lot of our songs. We're not just sort of slow, doomy riffs. We mix it up with a bit of high energy, sort of MC5 or Motorhead style riffing as well. So I think, you know, we've got a pretty wide appeal. I mean, we're not a selective, we don't really mind who comes to see us as long as they, you know, have a good time and enjoy it. And we've played sort of random gigs just at local pubs, you know, just to anybody, and it always goes down well. I guess it appeals to their, you know, different types of rock fans in general, I suppose.
There seems to be a strong connection between the Shovel and vinyl records. Actually, is it okay if I just call the band the Shovel? Is that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. All right, because I trip over my own tongue trying to say the whole thing. Yeah. So the Shovel seems to have a connection with vinyl records, and I'm curious as to, as a touring band, what role does vinyl play in things like merch and the connection to the fans?
I think the reason we love vinyl, we've always been into it. Me and Louis have never, you know, even with the advent of the CD sort of revolution, we never stopped buying records. In fact, in a way, that made it easier because you could get, you know, good records cheaper because everyone was dumping their vinyl and going to CDs. Now that's coming back. The vinyl thing's got pretty big again, which is great because I think vinyl and that old style is a timeless thing, and it suits our music, and it also, you know, gives us a good canvas for doing some interesting covers, which really don't come across on CDs because they're just too damn small, you know what I mean? So the vinyl thing has always been our primary concern. Everything else is sort of like, hey ho, it comes out on CD, yeah, great, good for the car or whatever. But the vinyl is our thing. We just like the whole medium and the fact you get a big sleeve and you can put an insert, a lyric sheet and all that sort of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. It just seems to fit the bill rather neatly.
In the live shows, I imagine in terms of merch, you have 12-inch vinyl records, 7-inch singles. Are they better sellers than T-shirts these days?
I'd say it's about even, to be honest with you. A lot of people tend to, you know, they get both or whatever, but the vinyls do go very well. I guess it's it's a timeless thing. A T-shirt will wear out over time, whereas a record, you know, you look after it and play it, you've got it forever, pretty much, you know. But I think it's about evens on the sales wise, yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine being a band, it would be easier to do records because you don't have to do the small, medium, and large, and shirts are also quite bulky as well. But you guys seem to do a lot of vinyl runs of like 150, 300 special vinyl colors, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And some of the Shovel records are now quite collectible. They go for several hundred dollars. Does that surprise? Oh, are you just learning this? Do you know about this?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of bits. People's friends send me like a shot of an album on Discogs or in a store or something, and I'm like, Jesus, man, that's it is quite crazy for me, you know, being a vinyl fan over the years to see that sort of thing, because it's like, blimey, you know, I wouldn't have ever dreamed that would have been the case. But, you know, hey ho, that's the way it goes, man, I guess. If something's scarce, then it's, you know, people will put a crazy price on it. Whether it sells, I don't know, but
yeah,
very surprising indeed.
Well, like for instance, there's a split 7-inch with the Sharon Tate Experience, and I believe there were a few
the
colors.
Christmas single.
Yeah, that was for a Rise Above party of some sort. Yeah,
that's right. It was a Rise Above's anniversary, I believe, and it was a special Christmas single.
Yeah. Now, does Lee help arrange that? Do they say, hey, we're going to do something special, send us a track, and we'll press this up?
Yeah, basically, that's exactly how it works. For that one in particular, we were both on the same gig. Uncle Acid, Sharon Tate, whatever you want to call them, did a cover of an Elton John song. Mm. And we decided to rewrite a song by an 80s hardcore punk band called the Fearless Iranians from Hell. I don't know if you're aware of them.
No, I hadn't heard from them.
they did a few albums and singles, very sort of DIY punk ethic. Sound a bit like Black Flag, that sort of thing. But there's a particular track of theirs called Blow Up the Embassy, which I'm a big fan of, the song. And we rewrote it as Blow Up the Christmas Tree just for, you know, shits and giggles. It seemed fun at the time.
And that being a Christmas song, is that available anywhere else, or is that single the only place you can get it?
That's the only place you can get it at the minute, yeah. That was just purely a one-off. We did another one, actually. It was Lee's, for Lee's birthday party. He had a 50th birthday party, and he did a limited edition just for, you know, for that, which was us and Cathedral, mm-hmm. which I think was even more limited. So there you go.
And that was for Lee Dorian's birthday, the head of mm-hmm. Rise Above Records. Now,
that's right. Yeah.
Was that a surprise for him? Did someone else arrange that and reach out to you guys and surprise him with it, or was
No? I think he just wanted to give away a little present to all his friends who came down to the. Came down to the show because it was like an invite-only, you know, sort of like a private gig for his birthday. So I think that was the idea, was to just give everyone a little memento of it. And that's the way that worked, yeah. Cathedral did a cover of an old Australian band. I can't remember the name of the song, but... and then we wrote a song for the other side, so... Oh. Yeah, so that was a giveaway for that, you know. So if anyone's selling that one, that's a bit naughty, really, because it was a... very thoughtful and awesome gift from Lee, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will end up on Discogs and all that sort of stuff, but I think that's a bit, you know.
Tacky.
A little bit naughty. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, The Shovel isn't the only band you're in right now, right? There's also the band Gorilla.
I still do Gorilla as well, yeah.
Okay. And yeah. I see you've also got some vinyl with Gorilla as well. There's a split 12-inch with Grifter.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you want
Indeed,
to talk?
There is, yeah.
Tell a little bit about the story of this. This is a project you do alongside Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel.
Yeah, it is. In fact, Gorilla actually started before The Shovel. We went on a little bit of a hiatus because of various members had other things in life that they had to sort out or do, you know. So in that sort of downtime is when I've got The Shovel up and running. But Gorilla's put out, yeah, a few. I think we're on our fourth album, which has actually just come out quite recently on Heavy Psych Records, an Italian label, which is also the home of Brant Bjork and Nebula and stuff like that. Mm. So we've got a new album out on there. It's called Tree Creeper, and that's available if anyone's interested. It's all out there, man.
Okay. All right. And where do people get some of these? Now, I could direct people over to facebook.com/theshovel with two L's. I'll put some links in the episode page for this. Where can they pick up the Gorilla albums?
Either at Heavy Psych Records website, which I think is heavypsychrecords.com, or they can get in touch with us on Facebook. I think it's under Gorilla Rock and Roll, possibly.
Oh, okay.
You should probably see a picture of us somewhere pop up.
All right, I'll try to find the link and again put it in this episode page. So right now The Shovel has a new album coming out, Very Uncertain Times, and you've got a new drummer as well. What was the process like of being able to identify the new drummer, which I believe is an Australian, yeah?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we the drummer on the first recordings, for various reasons, he moved on. And we were left with a tour and no drummer, so we had a standing drummer for a while, who was okay, but obviously it wasn't going to work out. Luckily, the guy who drives us and does the sound, he's quite well connected in the sort of alternative music world, I guess you'd call it, and he suggested... a good friend of his who he knew was an awesome drummer, Miss Sarah Patale from Perth in Australia. She's currently living in London, but he suggested her. we thought we'd try it out, man. And she turned up at rehearsals. She'd pretty much learnt, you know, all the songs perfectly and just totally got the vibe. And when we were writing new stuff, again, she just, you know, totally nails it, you know. So it was a great haphazard sort of meeting, if you like, but it's worked out extremely well.
So she's on the new album. She's not just a touring drummer. She's okay. And what does the new album, Very Uncertain Times, what does that add to the story of The Shovel? How does that differ from some of the other albums?
I think the latest album, in my opinion, the best we've ever sounded. It's just tighter. Sonically speaking, it's just on a different scale from the previous ones. I don't know why. It just all clicked. Everything came together, the drumming, the sound, and the tightness of her drumming. I mean, she's really, you know, nails it, but is also very expressive and plays, you know, just top-notch. The songs, I think, have progressed. You know, it's the trick with a band like The Shovel, I think, is progressing, but not changing, if you know what I mean. You sort of progress in your parameters as a three-piece rock band, but you don't want to suddenly break out the synths or the, you know, samples and all this sort of stuff. You just you keep going on. You've got your sound, but then you have to sort of think of new ways to expand upon it, make the songs better, and just, you know, keep the interest and the excitement going without hopefully repeating yourself, you know.
Yeah, there seems to be a bit of a formula to harken back to the vibe of the band. How do you guys keep yourself in check when you're practicing, when you're developing songs? Are you quite verbal with one another? Are you quite aware of when something may be straying a little bit out of the lane?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we don't have, we're all way past the old sort of ego stage of, hey, you know, it's my precious riff and you can't touch it sort of thing. We discuss stuff. If something's not working, even if one of us thinks it's not working, that means it's not. So we'll find a, you know, it's like a maths equation. Eventually you get together and you work out the answer, you know, and usually it comes out for the better. We edit stuff quite savagely. If anything's not what we consider top notch or doesn't quite fit in or is a bit lame or just gets a bit boring, we'll kick it out and we'll write something new or just chop it down until it's, you know, really as tight and as exciting as we can possibly think of that song. You know, you have to reach a point where you stop, obviously, because otherwise you'd be writing one song forever. Mm-hmm. And you have to reach a point where you say, hey, that's sounding great, let's leave it at that. And luckily, we all seem to be on the same page. We discuss it thoroughly. If somebody's not playing, so, you know, like Louis will say, why don't you try da-da-da on the guitar or whatever, and I'll say the same to him, and it all comes out. Yeah, it all seems to work really well.
The new album, there's 8 tracks on it. Do you guys over-record? I mean, do you record 10, 11, maybe 12 tracks and then put 8 on the album and use 4 or use the remainders for 7-inch and B-sides?
No, we don't really. I mean, I think on the last one, on the Keep It Greasy, we might have had, I think we had one track left over, which again has just sat there and it's done nothing, because listening to it, the sound is different from what we sound like now to our ears, and it's sort of like, well, what the hell do you do with that, you know? So the approach this time was, let's just record 8 tracks for the album, 2 tracks for the extra single, and if we need anything for future singles or, you know, tracks or whatever, then we'll write new ones and record them then. But no, the main thing was to concentrate on just making those 8 songs for the album and 2 for the single just as good as we could without wasting time on, you know, side thoughts or things that wouldn't be used. We narrow it down to exactly what we want, and we just concentrate on nailing those tracks that we've got, you know. So we very rarely have any leftovers from the studio, to be honest with you.
There's a bit of a pattern with the Shovel albums. Each one has an initial pressing that is in clear vinyl and comes with a 7-inch. You just mentioned, you know, there will be one on this one as well. So the first, I think, 200 or 300 records, clear vinyl with a bonus 7-inch. Is that going to be the same pattern that Very Uncertain Times has?
I would assume so, although I don't know for sure. The the choice of the initial pressings, coloured vinyl and all that, we usually leave that to Rise Above because we trust them in what they've haven't, you know, they've got it right every time so far. And we're more interested in making the music. We make the music, we come up with the album covers and all of that. So we leave the record pressing and the marketing and all the rest of that to those guys because they know what they're doing and they haven't let us down so far. So we trust them with that.
All right. So it's just a bit of a surprise for you. At some point you get a box of records from the record company and, oh, look at these.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's cool. I like that. I don't, you know, what's life without a few nice, pleasant surprises, man, you know?
So the Shovel's been churning out an album about every other year. There's a bit of a break. This is a three-year break and the new album this year. Of course, you have the new drummer. What's going to happen over the next couple of years? What can we expect from the Shovel until the next record?
Hopefully, lots of live shows, a lot of touring. I mean, we'd love to get, you know, play in the States or get outside of just the UK and Europe if that's possible. So just, yeah, plenty of gigs and touring and the rest of it. I guess when it comes around again, if Lee wants us to do another record, we'll get writing and recording. But at the minute, the plan's just to, you know, play this one, get on the road and do as many shows and that as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any videos coming up for the new tracks?
We do. We're in the process of getting that together at the minute, but I guess that'll be probably after the album's actually been released, which is, I think, the 25th of October is the release date, but I guess any videos will follow fairly shortly after that.
Okay. And any idea when the pre-sale will be? When people can go online to riseaboverecords.com and order one of those clear vinyl or the special pressings?
I'm afraid I don't, man. You'll have to get on the Rise Above Facebook or website and just bombard those guys with emails because I know the release date, but I'm not sure about the pre-sales. Keep watching the old social media, I guess, is the answer to that one.
Yeah, I think that's what I'll have to do. So everyone go to facebook.com/theshovel with two L's. Like them and make sure you keep an eye on the feed because I'm sure a link will go in there at some point.
Yeah, and Rise Above as well. Obviously, their page will probably be the first place you'll see that.
Oh, that's true. And when you see it, go in there and grab it because the early pressings are either clear vinyl or sometimes they do splatters, different things. Those sell out really quick. So if you want something special from this band, then go over to Facebook, The Shovel with two L's or Rise Above Records, and then like them and get them in your feed and keep an eye out there. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here, Johnny. Again, sir, I'm going to try to say this without falling over my tongue. The Admiral Sir Cloudsley Shovel, new album.
Well done.
Very Uncertain Times. Thank you. I haven't had a single beer. If I had a couple of beers, it would have been a friggin' mess. The Admiral Sir Cloudsley Shuffle new album, Very Uncertain Times, is coming out in October 2019. Make sure to pick it up and also check out some of their past work. Hear It, Don't Fear It. That's from 2012. That's where I caught the shovel bug. Check Them Before You Wreck Them, 2014. Keep It Greasy, 2016. And of course, Very Uncertain Times, present day. Johnny, thank you so much, and we really hope to see more of you around the world, in the U.S., in Canada, down here in Australia, and of course all over Europe. Thank you so much for coming on the Vinyl Cut, mate.
Thank you very much, man. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. Hopefully catch you soon, and keep it greasy and rock on.
your money. When he died, he left my mother poor. My mother taught me how to say sorry, but I never found a thing to be sorry for. Save your money, say you're sorry. They love me, but it's funny when I'm down, they run around. My teacher told me, stop acting silly, but I never saw the fucker crack a smile. Save your money, say you're sorry. These are very uncertain times. Save your money, say you're sorry.
There it is, the title track, Very Uncertain Times, from the album Very Uncertain Times by the Admiral Sir Cloudesley Shovel, available at riseaboverecords.com. Check them out. Make sure you get in on that pre-order and bring home one of those special pressing vinyl packages. And that's it for this week's episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thanks again for tuning in. We do appreciate your support. Please share this podcast with your friends, put it on your Facebook, tweet about it, do whatever you can to help spread the word of the vinyl guide. And if you feel like supporting us even further, check us out at patreon.com/vinylguide. Consider becoming a patron of the show. A few bucks a month always helps out and keeps us going. Plus, you get access to all sorts of interesting new stuff that we don't share outward. So patreon.com/vinylguide, and we'll be back with a brand new episode soon. So until we talk next time, keep spinning. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.